brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today is the feast of St. James. We know he's one of the apostles, but how much do you really know about him? I think Magnificat gives us a little intro here that I want to share a portion of it with you. James the Greater was the brother of John. A tradition has James preaching in Spain after Pentecost. And since the Middle Ages, pilgrims have made their way on foot to the Apostle's Shrine of Santiago de Compostela. The way to Santiago has been sometimes considered as an example of the Church's pilgrimage on its journey toward the heavenly city. It is a path of prayer and penance, of charity and solidarity, a stretch of the path of life where the faith becoming history among mankind also converts culture into something Christian. That's what John Paul called the Santiago de Compostela. In art, James often bears the attributes of the pilgrim, the staff, the hat, the gourd, and the scallop shell. St. James, do you ever think about what it's going to be like when we die and we are overwhelmingly privileged to enter to meet all these people? I don't know what that's going to be like, but I look for that time. All those saints that have gone before us, the saints who gave their lives that the faith might grow, do we thank them for that? Do we seek to model ourselves after them? Do we learn from them? We need to. We need to. I should give you a good list of the books of saints, stories of their biographies and their histories. I'll see if I can compile a list of good biographies for you to read that will encourage you and help you. Because so often we can identify with some of those who have gone before us, and you think, oh, well, that works in me too. Whether it's sin or whether it's virtue, it works in me too. And then we see how the other person capitalized on the virtue they had, or how they learned how to turn away from sin and to follow the Lord and to be able to see the fruit that all of that bears. The lives of saints, the biographies of saints, can be an extraordinary help to encouraging ourselves. So the first reading for today is taken from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 7 to 15. Brothers and sisters, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. I love that. We hold this treasure, the treasure of our faith, the treasure of the presence of God in our lives. We hold it in earthen vessels. We're definitely an earthen vessel. That the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. So that people can see, they see our weakness, our limitations, our sinfulness. They see it. And yet, when God shines through, it gives encouragement to others to want to live a life that will bring them to become light bearers of God's presence. They're attracted to goodness. So think about that. Think about what is it in my life that obscures the brightness of Christ's life in me? What is it that obscures? What is it that blocks it out? What is it that just tinges it? Don't think of anything as small. And I don't mean get scrupulous and guilt-ridden, but just look at your sinful patterns. The light of Christ is in you, unless you're guilty of mortal sin. And then if that's the case, please go to confession quickly and you'll be set free. And God's light will then shine through you. It's true. It's not a fairy tale. It's not some kind of super spiritual idea. It's the reality of what God wants to do in our lives. That those who see us find him. That's what he wants to do. Brothers and sisters, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that is, the suffering of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since then, we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We too believe, and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. I think about some of the concerts that I've had the privilege of going to and how the music is sometimes so beautiful you almost feel as though you're transported out of yourself. In a way, it's absolutely beautiful. But in another way, it's only a sign, only a momentary sign of what God is calling us to be, light in the darkness, to be the presence of Christ, to allow Christ to shine through us in thought, in word, in deed. We can't do that on our own. We don't have the power to persevere in that. But if we beg God every day, shine in me and so be in me, that all with whom I come in contact may know thy presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. If we decrease, we're actually glorified. It's a paradox. But the more we die, the more we live. The more we die to ourselves and our own will, the more we live. And the more his light shines. Psalm 126, those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. When we sow the seeds of righteousness and goodness, allow them to be planted in our lives, we weep. Sometimes we weep because we're aware of how sinful we are. At least we are more aware of how sinful we are. And we weep for our sins. Other times we weep because we see the things we need to give up. But brothers and sisters, when you weep in the Lord, it will bring joy and peace. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. That's God's promise. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. And he said to her, what do you wish? So he doesn't even, it just says the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. And he said to her, what do you wish? She didn't say it. He says, what do you wish? And she answered him, command that these two sons of mine sit one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Here's a mother really out there wanting the best for her children. There's nothing wrong with the desire to do good for your children. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It just has to have some guidelines. And she goes up to Jesus and says, make my two sons sit at your right and your left. Give them all the power. And Jesus said in reply, you do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink? And they said to him, we can. It's not laughable, but there is a certain way. We think, oh, yes, 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 because we're looking at the possibility of having power and prestige. So we'll say yes to anything in order to have that. That's how we are. And he replied, my chalice you will indeed drink. You are going to suffer with me. But to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. Even Jesus yields to the Father. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. You wonder why they were indignant. Were they indignant because they wanted to ask the same thing and these two guys got in there first through their mother? We don't know all that went on here, but it does say when the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you." How do you exercise authority? And don't say to me, it's a secular situation. Don't say that. You bring Christ wherever you are. You don't have to preach it, but your priorities and your values need to show through. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt, but it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. I'm called to serve my brothers and sisters. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. You're always thinking of others, always reaching out, serving others. Now, we can go overboard on that, and that's not what I'm talking about. But it's very good, unless there's an emergency, it's very good to get into the habit of putting the need of someone else before your own. Not in place of, but first, before. Think about that. It's a good exercise. It's good practice. You know, you want a glass of water, and you're really thirsty, and you've been working outside, and your child needs something, and it's a small thing, but that child needs something. Are you willing to, instead of saying, "Let me get a glass of water first, sure, I'll come and help you," and then go get the glass of water. Practice. Learn how to do that where it's appropriate. Not always appropriate, but where it is. Learn how to do that. To put the need of another first. Start out with little things to get into the habit of it. Whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to draw us close to him. And he wants to reveal himself through us to the degree that we're willing to surrender our plans, our ideas, whatever, in a given day. I'm not talking about long-range life plans, but just the plans of every day. Open your heart to him and watch how he begins to work in you and through you. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.